This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Good morning, Who Dat Nation. Week 15 action starting here. We are inside the Superdome for First Take, brought to you by Caesars Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the Saints. Steve, Jeff, Luke, Ashley, we are all hanging out this morning, getting ready for a Saints Commanders noon kickoff here on WWL, Saints Radio, and, of course, the Odyssey app. Jeff, good morning, sir. How you doing today, man?
Oh, I'm doing. You know, as I walked into the building this morning, I was like, man, there's only two of these left. Gotta enjoy these, you know. And then I was like, thought to myself, wait, is it only two? And then I had to think, like, yeah, okay.
Just two home games for sure.
Yeah, next week's gonna feel like 6 weeks, but it's two games at home to see what happens. You know, maybe they win the division, maybe they get a home playoff. I don't know. I'm not saying. I'm just saying.
Too much eggnog already.
Yeah, that's not. I shouldn't go down that road. But it's gonna be fun. I think, you know, this is an interesting game because I think if you went around, you know, I called my dad. My dad has no idea what's going on with the Saints, and he's like, "Oh, who are the Saints playing?" He's like, "I was like the Commanders." And he was like, "Oh, the Commanders are really good. The Saints are gonna get trucked." And I was like, "Are they? They're 8-5. Are they just a really, really good 8-5 team, or have they lost five games?" By accident.
Right. We shall discuss.
It's just an odd thing. Like, for whatever reason, the 8-5 Commanders, who have lost three of their last four games, struggled to beat the Giants twice, just like the Saints did last week. If you go back to week two, the Commanders became, like, the only team in NFL history to win a game where they allowed three touchdowns by the other team and did not score one on their own. Austin Seibert kicked, like, six field goals and they won, right? Like, those are the type of games they won, and that's part of their eight. So why is it that this Commanders team is viewed as like this juggernaut at 8-5?
Because they have their quarterback for the future.
Because of Jaden Daniels.
Yes.
Because of the confidence level people have in Jaden Daniels. And I get it. I think the Commanders feel that way. I think the team, for the first time in forever, feels like, man, we have a future here. You got the head coach. You got the quarterback. And because the Saints aren't viewed that way, it's like, oh, they're going to get rolled over. What's the line? 7.5?
Right.
At home?
Well, it's because obviously too the Commanders' offense has been, what is it, top four in the league in points scored.
Yeah, and they're gonna move the ball, they're gonna run the ball,
right?
You know, and I think that's kind of their strengths match up with the Saints' weaknesses. The Saints haven't been able to handle mobile quarterbacks. They haven't been able to stop the run. That's what the Commanders are gonna do. They're gonna try to lean on you with Brian Robinson, and you know it's just funny because I feel like this game should be viewed a lot closer than it is, and I think it's gonna be a close game. I really don't think this is gonna be a blowout. I think the Saints are gonna have a hard time. When it comes down to it, stopping the Commanders from moving the ball and scoring, I think it's going to go somewhat like the Rams game. And in the second half, I think that offense is going to start to take over a little bit. But this is not going to be a blowout. This is not going to be a walkover. It's just funny. Like, you're looking at an 8-5 team that's right on the fringe of playoffs. Like, this is a Commanders team that could still miss the playoffs.
Right.
But they've been anointed. And, you know, we're going to see what happens.
When you see, obviously, first-year head coach, first-year quarterback, still have their playoff hopes and dreams intact, it seems like a hopeless task ahead for a Saints squad. No Derek Carr today, and that have been just, you know, struggling, like you mentioned, against the run and a running quarterback, which this team, this Washington squad, seems to do well.
Derek Carr's not playing? That changes everything.
Oh, my goodness. but we did see this offense struggle without him, obviously, with Spencer Rattler getting the go this week. It is Jay Kaner's turn finally, which is good for him, getting a shot to start under quarterback today. And we'll get to see last year's fourth-round pick, what he has in store. I know he's been patiently waiting. We'll have plenty of sound cuts from him to get into. And I thought it was really funny. He was even asked about that dreaded photo shoot he had with the NFLPA. And he's like, man, I can't stand that.
It's so much funnier now that I know he hates it.
Right.
You know, he had a few choices when he was asked about that. And he could have leaned into it. He could have like, you know, steered into the skid instead. He was like, I hate it. So now it's something that if he comes out and plays well today, kind of use it as a talisman of like, you know, if they lose, then it's going to be more of that. If you Google Jake Haner's name, the first image that pops up is like some weird edited photo with wings and like
I did see that.
Like a TikTok filter on it. He's you know, and it's funny. He was like, it's completely different from like my personality.
Yeah, the photo photographer basically said to him, go have some fun.
Have some fun with
like
it. Every high school photo shoot ever. And he probably took that a little too seriously. But, no, I mean, I'm excited for Jake. For whatever reason, there's not the level of excitement around this start as there was for Spencer's starts.
Yeah.
He got three of them. Jake finished two of those games. I thought Jake played well. Like, there's a reason you're going to Jake in these games, and it's in part because when he got in against the Chargers, he moved the ball. He got the ball out of his hand. He operated quickly. He processed quickly in a week that he didn't have any prep work whatsoever. He went in there and he executed. And I think that's what you want to see today. I think you want to see a guy go out there and get the ball out of his hand. Right? We're going to talk more about this. The Saints allowed 16 sacks in the three starts that Spencer Rattler had. Two of those were on Jake in the Chargers game. Derek Carr's 10 starts, how many starts he has, he's been sacked 8 times total.
Right.
So, I mean, that can't happen. You can't win games that way. So I think that's a big part of this is, okay, can you process quickly? Can you move the ball? And I think that's going to be the story today. Like, if the Saints can run the ball, they can sustain offense, they can win the time of possession, they can keep Washington's offense off the field, then I think you give yourself a chance. If you can't do that, you're not going to win games. It's going to look a lot like weeks, 6 through 8, where it just didn't feel like anything. You didn't feel like you had a shred of hope in the second half of any of those games. So we'll see how it goes.
Looking at our LCMC health update, LCMC Health, 8 hospitals, 1 promise of keeping you well. Derek Carr was doubtful to start this on Friday's initial injury report. He has been downgraded to out for this matchup. Also not playing today will be DeMarco Jackson, the linebacker, and also wide receiver Bub Means, who's still recovering from an ankle issue. Questionable in this game, Tano Passanio. He has been coming back from that Achilles issue, so be curious to see if he finally gets some game action today. And the team has activated Passanio from the reserve physically unable to perform list, and they've also placed DeMarco Jackson on injured reserve, so obviously he is out.
Yeah, that for Tano, it had to happen this week. So, you know, I don't know if he's even going to be up for the game. That's going to be the question. He's healthy. He can play.
Yeah.
He's been ready to go for several weeks now, and it's just been, hey, do we have a roster spot for him? DeMarco got hurt, and so that kind of opened up. But you're probably going to activate him either way because he is at the end of that 21-day return to practice window where either you get activated to the roster or you're done for the year. So he's back in there, and it's good. We're just going to have to wait and see how he's utilized. You know, there's not going to be a ton of snaps to go around. Like, you have a pretty loaded and healthy, the important word, defensive end room, right? Like, he's, you know, if you lump Isaiah Foskey in there, you're talking about 6 defensive ends. So I don't know. Like, it's going to be a tough nut to crack. You might get some third down work. What Tano did really well last year that I don't think the Saints have done enough of is, you know, shift an outside rusher inside and let him run some pass rush games with Brian Brzee. Tano and Brian Brzee had a really good kind of chemistry in those inside stunts last year. And, you know, we saw, if you go back to that Tampa game, that was a big part of it, is that you got a lot of pressure in the interior on Baker Mayfield in week 17 of last year. And Tano was a big part of that. So I'm interested to see. You know, he's a guy who's worked really hard to get back. He tore his Achilles during an off-season workout at the facility.
Right, we didn't even see him at all.
No, he just didn't show up for the first day of OTAs, and we were like, hey, where's Tano? And I get towards Achilles. But even at that point, they were like, he's not done for the year. He's going to work his way back. And,
yeah.
Because that's a tough recovery. Like, you could easily just pack it in and say, okay, I'll see you next year. And he was at the facility every day. Even out in Irvine, you know, it was kind of a joke. Like, we'd always see him walking around in, like, a weighted vest, like, doing whatever he could at that stage of his rehab to be around the team, to be involved. And it's cool when you see a guy do all that work and get back.
Looking at this black and gold bunch, there's a lot of questions going into this matchup of, obviously, who are going to be Jake Haener's weapons. Thankfully, Alvin Kamara, the main one, I know, was dealing with an illness throughout the week, but was able to be a full go on Friday. Big sigh of relief from Hudats and I think the Saints squad as well. When, you know, you assume, obviously, with an illness that someone will be ready to play Sunday, but not seeing him the first two games of action. I know the second day, Coach Rizzi said, was kind of more of a precautionary to keep him at home.
It is always funny to me when, like, we get the injury report and it comes out as an illness and everyone's like, this huge sigh of relief. Oh, fine, it's nothing. And meanwhile, this guy's, like, fighting for his life over the
He's
toilet.
All medded up and in bed, like, sniffling.
Yeah, because have you ever been sick on a Wednesday? How'd you feel over the weekend? Were you great? But, no, Alvin's going to be fine. He's going to be active. Like you said, Darren, you know, initially Darren said he expected him out at practice on Thursday. On Friday, he told us that he kind of made the call to keep him out because he was sick and they just wanted to play it safe. Like, he was pretty sick, according to what Darren was saying. So, no, he'll be out there, and that's good for Jake. You know, one of the things that happened in those Spencer Rattler starts is you were down several offensive linemen. You were down several key playmakers on offense. This week, you have more of a fighting chance, right? You have your offensive line in there. It's going to be the second week in a row that you have all five starters. I didn't think they played particularly well last week in the run game.
Definitely not.
You know, it wasn't their strongest game. I'd like to think there was a little bit of rust involved. You kind of got whipped off the line last week. Like, they had, what, 10 negative plays, 10 tackles for loss against the offense? That's too many. You know, when if you include the sacks, you're talking about like 20% of the Saints' offensive plays last week went backwards. It doesn't even include the zero-yard plays. It doesn't even include the tackles for no gain. That's just the reverse plays. And that's just something you can't have. You know, when you have Derek Carr and you have a quarterback that you feel like is going to navigate that situation, and he did, I wouldn't say he did particularly well, but he survived it. You know, he didn't move the ball. You had two long drives for touchdowns. You can't do that with a young quarterback. You got to stay ahead of the chain. So that offensive line really needs to step forward today and win the line of scrimmage.
You know, you mentioned, obviously, with Derek Carr there, do you think there was ever really that opportunity he was going to be ready for this game, or even as the backup or emergency guy, or was kind of Rizzi playing games with everybody?
No, I mean, I think the thing with Derek is he's always going to push to play, so you have to kind of balance that with, I think, Mickey Loomis, when he was on WWL earlier in the week, he phrased it as, it's not about whether he can play, it's whether he should play.
Sure, right.
And, you know, I think with the concussion protocol, really complicated, because, hey, your hand is going to be what it is. It's not. It's fractured. It's not going to get that much better over the course of the next month. So whatever it is this week is kind of going to be what it is. So if you can play with it this week, you can play with it. And I think the concussion protocol is really what complicated that, because he was never able to get out onto the field for practice and really test it out. And I think if he was on Friday, maybe you would have considered it. And because Derek is Derek, he's going to push to play. But I think it was always, hey, we got to pick between Spencer Rattler, Jake Haener. I think the lean was always Jake Haener, and you just wanted to see how he operated in practice before you put it out there. Sounds like the decision was made on Thursday after Thursday's practice, and he got the full reps on Friday. But, you know, I know Jake's excited because this is an opportunity that he feels he has earned. And, you know, when you get bypassed, like he got bypassed.
Exactly. Gives you a little extra nugget of motivation.
Yeah, you can be the good teammate, the good soldier. You're frustrated. You're annoyed. You know, there's no way around it. I'd be more concerned if you weren't. If you weren't annoyed, if you didn't do all that work.
Okay, Spencer's getting the start.
If you weren't mad about that, then I don't think you have what it takes to be an NFL quarterback in the first place. So, like, there's nothing wrong with a little frustration. But it sounds like, you know, he put his head down, he got back to work, and he's now ready for the opportunity here. So, we'll see what happens. But, again, like, I think people should be excited about this start just like they were excited about week six, right? Like, I think this is an opportunity for a young guy to go out there and show what he has. And does he have the elite arm talent of Spencer? Probably not. But that's not the entire story in the NFL. Like, I always say, like, when you – in college, arm talent is, like, 60% of the equation. In the NFL, arm talent is like 30% of the equation. Like, it gets less and less important because all these guys can make the throws. It's about what you see, whether you can diagnose a defense, whether you can find the guy to get the ball to, and then the arm talent comes into play. But if you can't do all of those things before that, the arm talent doesn't matter, right? Otherwise, it's just a beauty contest. Like, oh, did you see that throw? What a beautiful throw. It landed 3 yards out of bounds.
Right, it's out of bounds, right.
So, yeah, no, I know Jake's really fired up to kind of let it sling today.
For Hayner, too, pretty impressive. The adversity he's had to put up with this year, we talked about just now, obviously, the, you know, getting passed over by Spencer Rattler to get the start earlier this season. But even during training camp, was dealing with a rare form of skin cancer, which was obviously scary for a young guy, anybody, really. And thankfully, it was nothing too serious where it was, you know, hampering him from coming back.
I mean, you look at his whole career, and it's like, man, this guy's never had a straight line to anything, right? You get drafted in the fourth round. They trade up for you. You're really excited. You come in here. You learn an offense.
Keep doubting me.
Yeah, well, and then what happens first game of the year? You get suspended 6 games, right? And so, you know, that's a pretty hefty chunk of your rookie salary out the window over what was most likely a mistake. A lot of times you take a supplement, you don't know what's in it, and then you get dinged, and suddenly you're suspended 6 games. And did it affect the season? No. Did it affect his season? Absolutely. Right? Then offseason comes and everyone gets fired on offense. You rebuild the entire offense. What does that mean for me, Jake Hayner, the quarterback? I'm kind of sitting here in limbo, you know, so then they're like, all right, they draft another quarterback. Great. Now I got to fight for my job again. Go out there, compete. Now, halfway through training camp, suddenly there's this report that I have skin cancer. I got to go deal with that. Still competing, still getting out there. The doctors tried to get him to miss one of the preseason games. Instead, he kind of looked at
him. Yeah, he was like, not a chance.
Yeah, I am not missing a game. Put more stitches in, and we'll see what happens. He goes out there and plays. And, you know, it's kind of just been the story of his career. And, obviously, you fast forward to week 6, and he gets benched. Or not benched, but, you know, he gets passed over for the rookie who came in, and he competed with all season and then was named the backup. But he's not the fill-in guy. So, no, it's been a really interesting road for him. So, I think the way he phrases, like, what do I have to lose? You know, just go out there. I'm not going to go out there and play scared. I'm going to go out there and show what I can do.
Here on First Take inside the Caesars Superdome as we get ready for the Bud Light countdown to kickoff with the Cajun Cannon. That'll be coming up 10 a.m. and then kickoff with Jeff on the sideline, Mike Hawes, Deuce McAllister on the call. High noon right here inside the Caesars Superdome. Only 2 home games left, folks. We are going to take a break, and when we get back, we're going to dive into some of the sound from Jake Hayner and what he had to say on Friday as this team was getting ready to host this Commander squad. A noon kickoff right here, WWL Saints Radio on First Take. Taking a break. Be right back after this. Stay tuned.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, bootball,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back into First Take, brought to you by Caesars Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the Saints. Getting ready for a noon kickoff between the Commanders and the Saints here. There's only 2 home games left on the season. And I know I was already looking this morning, Jeff, at temperatures in Green Bay for next week.
Why are you doing that? Don't do that.
Because we're so warm here today. It's like, obviously, the contrast in that for next week will be a lot different. But the big news today is obviously the start for quarterback Jake Hayner, his first NFL career start with the black and gold, and is going to get a chance to prove what he's got. Spencer Rattler we saw for 3 games earlier this season, and Jake finally talked about getting ready for this moment and how he cannot wait for the noon kickoff. Here's Jake Hayner.
You know, when I played in the Denver game, I played at the Chargers game with no preparation, you know, in practice, no reps, being able to come in and move the ball, you know, I felt like I earned it. At the same time, you know, I play with confidence every time I'm in the game, and I feel like this week's no different. I had a full week of prep, feel great about it, and you know, my teammates believe in me, believe in what we can do, and you know, I'm excited to go out there and let it spin.
Talked about that process, too, of getting ready. He said there's no difference for him, at least, getting ready to be a backup or a starting quarterback.
You know, I've been going through my process since last year, you know, when I was working with Gruden, him allowing me to understand what my process is going to be and how to prepare like an NFL starter. So, you know, they always say, you know, just always stay prepared. I feel like I've always had this process, and I've been, you know, practicing it for the last year and a half. So this week was no different. I do the same process that I've been doing, and I feel great about it.
How anxious is the youngster for this opportunity today?
You know, you got to go out there. You got to show the people that you can play in meaningful games, meaningful snaps, and you got to earn everything in this league. And I feel like that's been the theme of my life. I've had to earn everything I get. Everyone's doubted me, and I just got to go prove it.
Go out and prove it, and that's one thing, too. It's you got to think that maybe the youngster might be a little timid, a little gun-shy out there against a Washington Commanders team that has had a lot of success this year. The Saints have been struggling, but for Haener, there is no holding back.
Listen, I'm going to be confident. I'm going to let it rip. You know, I feel like I've worked too hard to go in there, you know, with that mentality of, oh, don't screw up. You know, sure. I've been preparing for this. I'm going to do everything I can. This is a must-win game. But if you look at it, we're 5-8. What do I have to lose? Right? No, seriously, like, what do I have to lose? I might never get an opportunity to start a game again. I'm going to show everybody what I'm capable of doing and let the guys know that I'm confident in doing that. You go and you win this game, things can change. So I think it's just a 1-0 mentality. Beat the Commanders and show everybody what, you know, Jake Haener can do on Sunday.
Jeff mentioned earlier the fact that Derek Carr has been good at avoiding sacks this year, and Jeff got to ask Haener about limiting sacks in this game against Washington.
When Derek was out weeks, what, 6 through 9, I think there was 16 sacks. And
yeah.
In the games he started, there's been 8. I guess when you look at that and you see those numbers, is there kind of a through line of, you know, what needs to be different to avoid that?
You just got
to
process and get the ball out of your hand and trust what you see. You know, I'm going to do everything I can to go through my progressions, get the ball out of my hand. And, you know, obviously with Derek, he's played in this league 11 years. He's seen a lot of looks. And I think having him down there with me on Sunday will be huge, because once I understand kind of what is being projected at me, if what holds true on film is going to be, you know, the tail on Sunday, then, you know, I can continue to trust my prep and go. But if not, I got to react. And I think that's the beautiful thing about a pure progression offense.
Is that when you say get your ball in the hand fast? Is it more just, you know, knowing what you're looking at? Is that?
Yeah, I mean, you kind of sit back there and you're like, okay, I have an idea of what's going on here. You trust your prep. You trust what you see. You know, and that comes with experience. It doesn't happen. You go and you see a lot of these young quarterbacks, and I'm not a vet by any means, but, like, some guys don't trust what they see all the time. And that entail leads to sacks, leads to you holding the ball. So I just got to trust what I see and use my eyes to my advantage and cut it loose.
Well, one thing where Jake also cut it loose, he had a photo shoot during that a rookie NFLPA meeting, and his photos went viral for his basically his supermodel poses that he was putting out there, giving him plenty of Zoolander looks.
Yeah.
With blue steel and Magnum. Well, he was asked about that and is a little embarrassed about what took place during that photo shoot. Here's what Jake Haener had to say.
Such the opposite representation of, like, who I actually am, and I hate it so much just because it's just like, it's whatever. I did it. I got to own it. But I can't stand it. I would think I'm a clown if I saw that too. So, yeah, I mean, it is what it is, right? You just got to go let it rip on Sunday, and then people forget about that crap.
I don't know if people are going to forget about that, though.
Well, here's the thing. Like, he's right, though. Well, you know, I think at a certain point he should have been like, I don't mind. It's like, whatever, you know, because then people, you know. But, okay.
People know it bothers him, especially his fellow players.
Telling people it bothers you is a mistake. But he's right in the sense that, hey, you go out and win a game, no one's going to be talking about that photo shoot, right? It's the same thing with all these other things we talked about. No one's going to be talking about, oh, you got suspended to start your career, or you got passed over.
If it goes well, they're laughing with you. If it doesn't go well, they're making fun of you.
At the end of the day, you just got to go out and play good football, right? And one thing that, you know, he talked about there is a lot of times rookies and young players, when they get out on the field, they kind of get paralyzed by, I don't trust what I'm seeing. And that's, I think, the biggest hurdle that young quarterbacks have to get over in the NFL. It's a complicated game, right? It gets a lot more complicated from college to the NFL. Defenses are faster. Defenses are more complex. They're trying to fool you constantly. And understanding what you're seeing and understanding it quickly is often the key between, you know, a young quarterback getting eaten alive and a young quarterback doing enough for his team to go win a game, right? There's a difference between being a good player with high potential and a player that can actually go win a game right now on today, you know, and to do that, you have to operate at a higher level than just going out there and guessing, right? Because if you're guessing, eventually you're going to guess wrong. You know, like, you have to be confident and you have to be right. And that also includes understanding when a play is dead. You know, one thing this offense needs you to be able to do is identify the dead reads quickly and move on. You can't stand there and stare at a read that's never going to come open. You have to understand, okay, this is taken away. Go to the next one. That's taken away. Check it down. Right? It's that simple, and it has to happen quickly. TTT, time to throw. That's the stat. pocket time. How long are you standing there in the pocket going through your progressions? If he can do that quickly, I think he has a chance, and I think that's why you put him out there, because I think he has a better chance to do that.
And obviously, Haener does not have the luxury of having the Saints' top two wide receivers still out for this matchup.
Guys aren't getting open fast.
No, exactly. Rashid Shaheed done for the season. And I know there's been sightings of Chris Olave at practice, but he still has not made his way through the concussion protocol. Is that correct?
You know, it's tough. I don't know if you can technically clear the concussion protocol on IR. I think you have to come back and clear it.
Right.
It's kind of a complicated process. But he's been around the team. He traveled to New York last week. He wants to be involved. This was the first week the Saints could have feasibly brought him off of IR. There's been no indication that that's going to happen. You know, I kind of feel like, to some extent, just opening his practice window over the final 3 weeks, whether you plan to bring him back or not, would be beneficial for him just to get kind of back involved, because you're not getting hit anyway. It's practice, you know, but it would be a way to kind of ease his way back into the flow of things prior to the offseason. So we'll see if they do that. You know, there was supposed to be an update last week. He was meeting with specialists. I think that meeting got pushed back. So we are still kind of in a holding pattern on exactly where Chris is. But it's a good sign to see him. You don't sit on the sideline of a game out in December in New Jersey unless you want to be there. You know, and clearly,
hey,
Chris,
yo, what's wrong with Jersey?
It's cold, is what's wrong with Jersey. You know, it's like I saw some people say, well, he was there last week when I pointed this out. It's a lot different for a guy to show up at the dome and stand on the sideline. It is to get on a plane and fly out to Jersey City and hang out in 40 degrees on the sideline. Like, that happens because you really want to be around the team. So
we'll see what a trooper he is next week, maybe for the Green Bay trip.
Yeah, if he's out there, that would be impressive.
It's like, you know, I gotta have another revisit with that specialist. It just so happens to be during Monday Night Football.
I have always wanted to shovel my driveway. You know, that's every time I talk to people about, what's it like living in the cold? Like, you got to get real excited about shoveling your driveway and scraping the ice off your windshield. You know, that's the type of thing you don't think about down here too much.
No, definitely. We were talking about, obviously, young signal callers and their struggles in the NFL. Well, a guy that hasn't been struggling, Heisman Trophy winner, LSU stud, and Jaden Daniels. He had a little bit of a rough patch, though, recently before the Commanders finally got back in the win column. But we know from the arm talent to the escapability, being able to use his legs is going to be a problem for this black and gold bunch. And veteran defensive end Cam Jordan was asked about Jaden Daniels leading up to this game.
When you come in with a young, elusive, highly mobile, I mean, we don't even have a 40 time for him, right? Because he knew he was going to be a lock. You know, the new tier of quarterback, they don't have to do things. but when you see it on film, he's looking game time fast. You know, he looks like he has elite speed. He's a quarterback, so he gets to use the sideline to his advantages, like all the other quarterbacks have been. You know, the run to the sideline, so you let up, and then they turn up the field. By the way, he can leave your fastest player because he's looks that fast on the field.
What is game time fast?
I mean, you know, some guys run a 4.4, but then you turn on the tape and they look like they run a 4.6, and some guys say they run a, you know, it says they run a 4.5, 4.6. You turn on the game film and they look like they're the fastest thing moving. Game time speed is a real thing. Just because you run a 40 and clock at a 4.3 doesn't mean you can play at a 4.3 speed. Just because you run a 5.0 40 and then you get on and, you know, 4.8 and you're beating everybody off the edge.
Cam Jordan talking about Jaden Daniels there, who has completed 69.6% of his passes this year, 2,819 yards, 15 touchdowns, 6 interceptions, and you mentioned the escapability and mobile part of his game, 590 yards rushing with 6 more touchdowns on the year, 2 fumbles for him this year, but he hasn't lost any to the defense in these matchups. Getting to him, Jeff, is definitely one of the scarier prospects I've, you know, going into this game. I know we kind of joke back and forth on the Inside Black and Gold podcast. The over-under for rushing yards for him, I think, was just 39, 40 yards going into this matchup. But, you know, the Saints are going to be focusing on that, and he really hasn't run wild on teams this year, even though he is the second largest, has the second largest rushing title for quarterbacks this season.
Yeah, I mean, it is a strange thing because you hear all about the rushing yards. He's only rushed for over 52 yards twice. He had 88 yards in the season opener, And then he had 82 yards against the Browns. I'm sorry, he also had 74 yards against the Cowboys 2 weeks ago. So, or 2 games ago, I should say. They had the bye baked in there. He's not a guy who's necessarily looking to run constantly. The big thing for Jaden is, it's when the runs happen, right? I think he has 36 first downs. He has more than a quarter of this of the Washington's – I almost said the R one. he has 36 of Washington's rushing first downs, right? And that's a lot. And what will kill the Saints today, and this is what happened with Drew Lock last week really, is third and long, third and 8, third and 9, third and 12, third and 14 – he's running for 15 yards, right? Like he's scrambling, and then he finds just enough to extend that drive. And those are backbreakers because those are the downs you have to get off the field on. And those are the downs that I kind of feel like if I'm the Saints, I might be throwing a spy in the mix. I might be putting Willie Gay on the field and asking him to chase him around because I cannot allow him to beat me with his legs on those downs. If he goes down the field, if Terry McLaurin gets matched up with Kool-Aid and he beats him one-on-one, he goes over the top, he hits it, you got to live with it. Like, there's going to be those plays. You cannot allow him to just execute you to death on the edges of the field. But I will go off on a rant here, and I'm glad Cam brought this up. And this isn't even about Jaden, but I feel like if the NFL cares about player safety,
yeah,
if they really care about even keeping the quarterback safe, they're going to turn these sideline dekes into unsportsmanlike conduct penalties. And what do I mean? When Pat Mahomes sprints on a beeline toward the sideline and then right at the last second decides, oh, I'm going to keep running up the sideline. It was like, no, you can't do that because the defenses are trained not to blow you up out of bounds. And if they do, they're going to get a penalty. But quarterbacks are allowed to take advantage of their own player safety rules. Josh Allen's like the biggest culprit of like sprinting downfield, going into a fake slide, and then going. You know what the result of that is? Trevor Lawrence getting blown up as he slides. Because you have these last second slides, and the quarterback's like, I'm safe now because – but if I don't want to, I'm just going to keep running. Drew Lock, that long run he had on that last drive, that's what Cam's talking about. That long run that Drew Lock had late in that Giants game, he sprints to the sideline, and then the last
Everyone
second cuts upfield.
You give up a little
right.
thinking, oh, I don't
because
want to get a penalty.
If I hit him, I get a penalty, and then I get reamed up by my coaching staff. But then the quarterbacks are allowed to do that. So that's my rant. That's my righteous indignation of the day. If the NFL is serious about keeping quarterbacks safe, they will get penalized for fake slides and fake running out of bounds. Because that is, I think using Mike D'Attilier term, it's horse hockey. It's horse hockey. Anyway.
Cam would agree.
Cam agrees. I know he does.
We're taking a break here on First Take, checking out our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line as we head out. Morning, if the Saints offensive line can prevent sacks and the team has no penalties, they will win today. Joe from Biloxi. Well, I don't know about no penalties, but definitely have to limit those negative plays,
obviously.
Yeah, I'd
settle for no penalties. can I check that box off on my order this morning?
Yes.
No penalties? Yeah, let's do that.
We're going to take a break. When we get back, we'll hear a little bit from that kid, Jaden, when we return on First Take. So stay tuned here on WWL. Back here on First Take, it is week 15, and the Saints are hosting the Washington Commanders. Obviously, tons of excitement around Jake Haener getting his first career NFL start in this matchup for the Black and Gold. And then the other side of the ball, good old Jaden Daniels back in Louisiana, an LSU stud. Was drafted second overall last season. Has some experience, obviously, in Louisiana, a little bit in the Superdome as well. Daniels was asked over at Commanders practice about playing the Saints in the Superdome, and here's what he had to say.
It's going to be fun. I play football down the road, so I went to a couple other games. I was blessed to go to a couple other games, and it's going to be fun. It's going to be a good challenge. They're a good team. Superdome gets pretty loud. And they're rolling, so we'll go out there, we'll see what we can do and compete against them.
And looking at this team at this stage, what are you seeing the most growth at this team overall?
Yeah, I'll say just our ability to fight through adversity. Obviously, things don't go as perfect, as smooth as you want them to, but the resilience that we show and how we're going to keep fighting to the end of the game, win, lose, or draw, I'll say that's the biggest growth and improvement that I've seen from OTAs to even now.
Looking at the Washington Commanders, they are 8-5 currently on the season. They won their last matchup, but are still in the hunt for playoff spot. Obviously, the NFC East, the Philadelphia Eagles, are ahead there at 11-2. But a wild card position is definitely doable for this Commanders bunch. Jaden Daniels was asked, does he look over those playoff scenarios on Twitter, ESPN, wherever, as he tries to see what this Washington team can do?
you can't really hide from any of that. I mean, you turn on your phone, you see stuff like that. So it's not really like an unknown, but it's like focused on the little things. Obviously, everybody go around this time who's able to be a part of that wants to be in the playoffs. But we can't focus on 4 weeks from now, the playoffs is here. You know, we got to go out there. We got to go out there and compete against the Saints, worry about the Saints, then move on to the next week. And like I said, let the chips fall.
That was Jaden Daniels talking about, you know, checking out those playoff scenarios for the Commanders. They sit 8-5 right now, and today they are the 7th-ranked team in the NFC behind Green Bay, Minnesota, Tampa, Seattle, Philadelphia, and Detroit.
Yeah, and, you know, it's funny because this season could still go badly for them.
Like, oh, yeah.
That's where it's weird. Like, I mentioned earlier when I talked to my dad, I'm like, well, that's a great team. Like, they're 8-5. If they lose two more games, they're 10-7. Like they lose three more games, they're 9-8. Like it's an interesting scenario. When you look at Jaden and you say, okay, could he be possibly hitting a rookie wall? He hasn't had, you know, his second half of the season hasn't been as strong as his first half of the season.
Right.
They had that rough game against the Cowboys, but if you watch that game, it was a lot more about special teams than maybe Jaden Daniels. He yanked an extra point and he allowed kick return touchdowns and all that. And there was a Zach Ertz fumbled at a key point in that game. But, you know, that Eagles game, I don't think he played particularly well. I know he's been nursing kind of a rib injury.
Right.
And that's where, you know, Darren joked on WWL, they have the bye-bye-bye schedule because, you know, they got the Browns coming off a bye. Was it the Browns? I can't recall.
The Browns were coming off a bye.
Saints were – yeah, I can't – either way, so they have the last three games. Rams are coming off a bye, I think.
Right.
I don't know. Either way, they have a lot of teams coming off byes, and Washington is one of those teams coming off a bye. So they should be healthier. They did lose Noah Brown, who's a wide receiver who's been important for them. So we'll see how they replace him. Maybe De'Ami Brown, just to keep the Browns thing consistent. But Terry McLaurin is going to be tough to handle. One Ohio State player the Saints didn't get. I'm excited to watch Jaden out there. His first start in his LSU career was in this building against Florida State. And that was a game that, you know, you talk about missing extra points. Remember how that game ended? Remember how Jaden Daniels' first game with LSU ended against Florida State? He led them down for a game-tying touchdown, and then they yanked the extra point.
Right.
So he knows what that's like. He's had it happen to him a couple times. Actually, I think that extra point got blocked, but either way, it didn't go in, and they lost that game that way. So I'm sure he'd like to have some fonder memories in this building.
Looking forward to that noon start here on WWL. Mike Hawes, Deuce McAllister on the call with Jeff on the sideline. Coming up at 10 o'clock will be the Bud Light Countdown, the kickoff with the Cajun Cannon. We'll get his takes on everything leading up to this matchup. Taking a break here on First Take. Want to hear from you on the Oakland Hard Jewelers talking text line. What's up to this game day? Who that's 504-260-1870. Taking a break, and we'll be right back after this, so stay tuned. Closing out the first hour of First Take, the Saints are partnered with Seaside Events to provide the Saints Nation with the ultimate fan experience. Mingle with Saints legends during the inaugural Saints Legends Fans Cruise. We are here inside the Caesars Superdome, Gate B, Loge level, as we get ready for the Bud Light Countdown, the kickoff coming up with the Cajun Cannon at 10 a.m. Want to shout out all the teams that were in this Caesars Superdome this weekend, winning high school prep football championships, and also a shout out to Saints quarterback, former Saints quarterback Teddy Bridgewater in his first season as a high school head coach. He helped lead his alma mater, Miami Northwestern, to a Class 3A state title last night. So shout out to Teddy Two Gloves there. We're taking a break. Be back with more First Take after the top of the hour's news as we continue to break down the matchup, Saints Commanders, right here on WWL Saints Radio.